the Pulse WV Live, a network that beats to the heart of God, and I am your co-host.
Oh, finally.
Yeah, finally. You get
finally,
a little.
I get the little yeah. credit.
Well, you know, it's about like time.
We're that favorite father-son team, aren't we?
Favorite father-son?
That's what we are, father-son.
Father-son. Who's the father?
Well, I'm the one that you always make fun of, so I must be the father.
I don't make fun of you.
Oh,
how do
please.
I make fun?
Yeah, you talk about Moses. Oh, you knew him.
You know, well, you like did.
Well, you did.
Yeah, you did. You know, did you watch West Virginia play this weekend?
They didn't.
Really?
Did they play?
No.
I didn't think they did. I thought it was a week off.
Saw the Browns get their hind end beat yesterday.
Ooh, ouch.
Yeah, I watched that yesterday evening when I got home. I record a whole lot of football.
Oh, really?
And then we watch it all week.
Well, are you a Browns fan?
We are.
Oh,
yeah. We have been for years, yeah.
Well, what caused you to do that?
Well,
a bad day.
It goes back to my uncle lived in Warren, Ohio, which is right outside. It's kind of like 45 minutes from Cleveland. Mm-hmm. And then we knew we have a friend of ours, Roy Cool, who was on the farm team for the Indians. He lives over in Winfield, Roy Cool Sports. And so, you know, and then my dad and all of us, and we just all have been Browns fans. My uncle Russ.
Well, how about them?
Yeah, and so.
And you know where they got their name.
Yes, from the coach.
Yes. And a lot of people don't know that, maybe. Like, where do you get Browns from, you know?
Yeah. And what's ironic, though, is Pastor Jay is a Pittsburgh Steeler fan. And so is Bopper.
That's why your comment yesterday.
Yeah. So, you know, so they're big. So I've gone over to Jay's house and you know, had food and all that kind of stuff and watched the Browns, you know, either beat them or vice versa.
Do they, you mean when they play each other?
It's been a while, but yeah, I used to go over there and it was just kind of like a rival type thing. It's kind of fun though, you know, but then you've got Megan, she's a Dallas fan. And they're big Dallas fans, so you know you kind of you know get on them. But I mean, it's fun. We you know it's good.
Well, you know the Browns, they're called the Dog Pound, right?
They are.
Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
I'm
in the inner circle, you know. So it's like I don't know what.
Well, if you're
in
circle,
the low people.
Oh,
you know,
people like us.
Yeah. No.
That was your. I know. Everybody gets your passive aggressive.
Tease. It's not passive aggressive. Define that. That's funny. So, what's a dog? What do they call them?
The Dog Pound.
Really?
The fans. And what team is this doing real bad right now? And the fans are wearing bags on their heads. There's one.
The Browns.
Is it the Browns?
No, the Browns are terrible right now. They got beat yesterday and had it won. Terrible. Just terrible.
There's certain teams that you can name that generally do not do well. Browns.
Yeah.
Until recently, Bengals.
Pittsburgh got whipped yesterday. They were 3-0. I can't remember who they
played. Another 3-0 team lost yesterday.
Yeah, several.
Baltimore.
One thing about it, West Virginia could not lose on Saturday.
They
just could not lose.
Undefeated on our days off.
Yeah, on their days off, they cannot lose. But now it's a different story when. But I have my shirt on today.
You do.
I'm at West Virginia Mountaineers.
Yeah, yeah. Go.
Go Mountaineer.
Yeah.
Mountaineers.
Now the Browns, now what's another team that's kind of in that same category, unfortunately?
I don't know.
Detroit Lions.
They played yesterday.
Yeah. They had a good year a year or two ago.
I watched the Baltimore game.
Yeah, they beat a 3-0 team.
Yeah, and I like those coaches.
I don't think the Buffalo looked very good.
No, but Baltimore, their coach, what's his name?
I don't know.
I think it's Arbaugh is his name. Okay. And he spoke at the pro-life event in D.C. last year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Their whole family. Some of them have gone. He has other brothers, and I think maybe one more brother. And his brother coaches pro ball. Of course, we watched Alabama over the weekend and playing playing Georgia.
What a game!
Yeah, that was a game. Yeah, that was a really good game.
And
Nick Saban, he's still involved.
Is he really?
Yep.
I didn't know.
He was there, and he's like making $500,000 a year as an advisor to the college.
I could advise for that.
I could advise. I could advise to give me more.
Advisor is nothing more than what you're giving your opinion, right? Isn't that what an advisor is?
I do that all the time. I get nothing.
I get zero.
Yeah, I get nothing.
I advise my wife all the time.
What's that?
I advise my wife all the time.
She listen?
No, that's the part. That's why I don't get paid.
Oh, okay.
I'm not producing anything. No problem.
We're going to have to switch that. Change that around. All this online stuff you're doing.
Line Online.
Yeah.
Well, that might be a new place to go.
Line Online.
Line Online.
Tim Morris yesterday spent 5 hours with, what's his name? William Shatner.
Oh, man, really?
Yeah, he spent 5 hours. He brought him from Pittsburgh over to Ashland and spent 5 hours with him in the car.
Oh, man.
And he said he was just a hoot. He's old. He's really old.
About 90 or so, isn't he?
Yeah, but that may be young. Denny Crane. He was funny. Who's that? Denny Crane. Boston Legal.
I don't see Boston Legal.
That was a show back in the early 90s.
Oh, Boston Legal, huh?
And they were attorneys.
And that was a quote from one of the attorneys.
That was William Shatner. He was Denny Crane.
He would say,
"Yeah, but you're not messing with just anybody. I'm Denny Crane." That's what he would say. I'm Denny Crane.
He's still doing things.
Yeah. Well, Tim's had at least two out of that one show that they did. So he's had William Shatner, and then he's had Terry Bradshaw. He had Terry Bradshaw one day. And they had a hoot. They had a blast.
Well, there's a little trivia for you, I think. The founder, Roddenberry of Star Trek.
Uh-huh.
Was that Roddenberry?
I don't know.
He was a founder, and he's in all the... he died. I think they took his ashes to space or something like that.
Did they really?
Yeah.
So that's what's the problem.
Roddenberry. He's not thinking right.
Yeah.
He's all over the place.
All over the place.
But I think his wife was in the series, the Star Trek.
Really?
Roddenberry's wife, yeah.
What was her name?
Mrs.
Mrs., really? What job does she have?
She was one of the characters that came on every once in a while that would visit Star Trek. And I believe, I'm not for sure about this, it was either her or... is it Hulu? Is that her name on the characters?
I didn't watch Star Trek.
I believe one of those two is the one that did the singing on the opening.
Like the ooh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that was eerie.
It's kind of neat, yeah.
That's really cool.
Oh, it's just amazing the things I know.
It's even more amazing
the things I don't know. That's even more amazing.
I talked to Tim the other day. I said, I think we should do a live political show at the Bucket.
Ooh.
But it's just
book it.
It's too much work, and I know it would all fall on me. You guys would just show up.
Well, it's your choice. You had the vision. See, we're just
puppets on the
string. Yeah, puppets on the string. I'm your puppet.
That's funny.
You remember that song?
No.
Well, you don't.
I don't know much, John. You got to remember. There's only a few things I know.
But what you do know, wow.
Oh, powerful.
Wow.
Powerful stuff. Yeah. Like, one person watching.
Thank you, John.
Yeah, that's pretty nice.
Message was good yesterday.
Oh, I had fun with
yesterday's
that.
Promise, today's blessing.
Yeah, that was a $12 one.
Yeah, I think what you do is you listen in my class, you come up with a generic title that you could go with anything, and then you start writing down all my notes, and then you share them in service. I think that's what you do.
The whole thing?
Most of it. Good bit of it.
The important part.
The
thing about it is I don't listen to much of your class.
Oh,
I'm over there eating. So.
Yeah, I kind of asked for that one, didn't I?
Yeah. I'm making sure you sound good online for some
reason.
Well, I'll
tell you one thing you do a lot in my class.
What?
You guys sit up there in the balcony and just talk away like nothing's going on.
I wasn't up there at all yesterday.
Well, you missed one day. Okay.
I wasn't up there at all. But we're working on
stuff. That's why it was quiet yesterday.
We are working to make you better on your thing. So that's why when we're talking about stuff, we're... You know, how does he look on camera?
Could you whisper?
Do we need to put more makeup on him?
Do you have to use the megaphone?
Yeah. Christy sent me a text last week, and she said, y'all be quiet. There's three people now.
It's actually louder than you probably think. You can hear it quite loud when you're teaching.
Doesn't show up on the program.
But it shows up in here, John.
Oh, okay.
says
I'm just trying to make you better.
Hard.
You know, just trying to lead you through the process.
As a friend of mine once said.
You have friends? I thought I was your only friend. You have more friends than me?
Well, I change them out.
Oh,
when
okay.
I'm with them, they're my only friend.
Oh, okay.
That's what I do. Yeah, you know what I mean.
I do.
So you had a good weekend. Preached a great sermon.
Thank you, Lord. I appreciate
and,
that.
And, yeah.
Took some pictures of our kids. Our kids were all together.
Oh, you had them all
And
together.
We went to a place and we took pictures. And
where'd you go? Tell me about it.
We went to a place called
Details.
Rotary Park. It's
Rotary
in
Park.
Barboursville.
And so you had all the kids and everything.
Yeah. Yep. And it was, and plus Stephanie's family was there.
Oh wow!
And
you
they
did
took
have a
took a bunch of pictures. And
so, what do you do at this Rotary Park? What can you do?
You can hike. Yeah, there's a walking trail. Cook out.
Ooh.
And I mean, a lot of different things. It's kind of neat. We're getting ready to. This week we start our hiking season. You know, so
get out the old hiking boots and
oh,
stick.
Oh, can't wait!
You got your stick ready?
I do.
Yeah,
I have two
gun.
Two sticks. I have my gun. I have two sticks. Christy has two. I have two. I bought the kids sticks. I bought kids, you know, when we started hiking, I went out and bought boots and all that stuff.
Oh, yeah, you go all
I
out.
Have these things now. I've not worn them yet, but Rick Turner, a friend of mine, it's Caleb's dad, and I were talking. A place where he hunts is kind of a tall weeds, and so he has a thing called snake chaps. They're called snake chaps, and what they are is they look like a shin guard.
Yeah, I was getting ready to think it sounded like something like that.
And they go around; they wrap all the way around your leg, from your knee down to the soles of your or top of your foot.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually show the diagram of trying to stick a screwdriver through it, and it doesn't work. You can't get a screwdriver through it.
So in other words, just protect you from snake bites.
Yeah, and so I bought Christy a set and me a set. And because she will not go in the woods in the summertime, she will not. I don't care if there's $100 bill in there. She would not go. And I get it because, you know, we're in their neck of the woods, you know. And, but, you know, me, I'd hike all summer. You know, I like
that. You like that.
I do. I like that. Like that for sure. But so we're getting ready to start into hiking. Got some mopeds sold, so we're working on that. And working on a huge marketing thing right now.
So when you're talking about hiking, she will do that.
Yes.
Because it's a trail.
Just not in the summer.
Oh.
She will not hike in the
summer. Like fall, she will?
Yep.
Was that the snakes aren't out in the fall?
Yeah, and we'll hike all winter. We'll hike. You know, 10 degrees, 5 degrees. You
well,
know?
Now.
Because we've got
snakes,
all that stuff.
Snakes don't come out in the fall or winter?
They get to a place where they hibernate because it gets too cold, especially when you have a lot of cold mornings.
And they're warm-blooded.
Yeah, they'll
you know that.
Yeah, they'll go in.
You're cold-blooded, right?
Cold-blooded. They're cold-blooded. They're not warm-blooded.
Yeah, they are. Mm-hmm.
No, they're not warm-blooded. They're cold-blooded. A reptile is... All right, hold on a minute. All right, hold on.
They're warm-blooded. Look it up.
Is a snake... Warm.
Well, we hit the big stuff, blooded. Don't we? We cover the big stuff, don't we?
No, snakes are cold-blooded. I told you they were.
I knew that.
You don't know. I knew they were.
Just pulling your chain, John. Just pulling
Having
fun with your little mind there.
Were you lying to me?
No. Uh-huh. I'm just smoothly telling the truth.
Oh, yeah. No doubt.
It's like they said on TV the other day. The difference between a weed and a flower. Weeds are flowers that just don't grow in a row. Just think about that.
Don't grow in a row?
Mm-hmm. Weeds are flowers that don't grow in a row.
That's interesting.
You can look that up.
Yeah.
And they're cold-blooded, too.
Weeds are?
Mm-hmm.
I can get that. Yeah, I can agree with that. All these people are saying, no, John, they're cold-blooded.
And women
yes,
are,
I know.
Women are cold-blooded.
Yeah.
There's a whole list.
Louie in San Francisco says John Sandy doesn't know what he's talking about. One of the comments today, out of the two people that are watching.
Well, that's pretty common, though. He didn't have to listen to the program to know that.
That's
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Louie.
Thank you, Louie. Appreciate it, bud. Good to hear from you. See you at the bucket.
Just check my checking account. I have money there. That's crazy.
Even after your car wreck, huh?
Car wreck? I didn't have a car wreck.
Well, you call it a breakdown, but we know what you're saying. You're saying you had another wreck.
I've never had a wreck. Well,
never have. Well, see.
Somebody hit me one time. A drunk driver hit me one time.
Ooh, did he really?
Tim Morrison, me.
Ooh.
Yeah, I remember that.
Like, was it bad or like a nip?
It's bad for him. It was bad for him. I had to have my car fixed, but yeah. Tim Morrison and I were somewhere. It was back when we were probably, I was probably 16. It was coming up Indiana Avenue, and cars on both sides, and he kept coming. And I couldn't, there was nowhere to go, and he sideswiped me. You know, they caught him, took him to jail.
Oh, they did get him. He did try to get away, and.
No.
Oh, he didn't. He was just, no, did he crash?
We caught him. I got out of the car and went after him. I did. Got him.
So, in other words, when y'all hit, his car stopped working? Are you saying that it broke
down? No, he stopped and got out of the car and started walking. You know, it was just bad. I remember that. I forgot about that until now.
Cynthia had that happen with her.
But I've never broke down. That is the first time ever in.
Ever.
Ever.
Well, you do it right when you do it, though.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's for sure. Water pumps. The guy said it was a catastrophic failure.
Catastrophic.
He said normally, because I mean, I know cars, and, you know, normally your water pump it'll go. Yeah, that's the way that does. And it'll click, almost like a valve on an old engine.
Do that again.
Yeah, I mean, it just starts making a noise. But mine, no noise. I just
blew. It was gone.
Gone, crying won't bring it back. That's a song.
Is it really?
Yeah, it's a country song.
Country.
It's a country song.
I thought you just wrote it.
No.
It sounded like something you just wrote.
That was a good song.
Oh, yeah. Top 10.
Well, it was a good song.
For lonely people.
For lonely people? See,
is it really true if you play country music backwards, you get your dog, your cat, your truck, and your girlfriend back?
Well, I don't know if he wants his girlfriend back. Crying. Won't bring her back. Let's see here. Who did that? Let's see. Glenn Campbell did it.
That song?
Yeah.
Must have been a bad day. Oh, God. Here we go.
Well, that's old.
Is that Glenn Campbell right there?
Oh, yeah. I can do some damage on that song.
I think that was some early days.
No, this was last week. Kidding. Lefty Frizzell did it. That's an oldie. Yeah, gone. Yeah, let me get to the chorus.
It's gone, all right.
Here, let me play it for you.
No, please.
Let me just play this one part for you.
Oh, Lord.
I got to play this one part for you.
Yeah, just the one part, please.
Yeah, the one part. Hold on. Let me play my phone.
I have a taste of music, so I can't do this.
You do what?
I have a taste in music.
Here, see if I can find it. Here it is.
I won't bring her back. The more that I cry, the faster that plane flies, farther across the sky.
That's it right there.
That was
my water pump.
Man, I'll be humming that all day.
That's a great song. Glenn Campbell. They don't come any better than Glenn Campbell.
No, he was quite a performer.
Oh, yeah. Got saved, got straightened out, you know.
You got messed up first, right?
Yeah, you tend to have to get messed up like that before.
To get straightened out.
Then before you get straightened out. And I don't know why they call it straightened out.
I put that together.
Out. Yeah, you're really good.
Well, because you're walking the line.
Oh, that's
now
good.
You're walking the line.
No doubt. Well, Grant Snow will be here at 9:15.
Really?
You know how
buddy.
He is.
Oh,
you know, you go into his time. You go into his time, you know,
he starts getting on the mic like,
yeah,
excuse me?
Yeah.
Excuse me?
He's coming in doing his hip-hop show.
Oh, man.
He's got a new logo. He's got a new song. We've got a song for him now. And
what do you mean a song for him?
Like an intro song.
Where'd you get that, AI?
Yeah, AI wrote it.
Well,
yeah.
Where's ours? I keep thinking, where's our five-minute opening song that plays during the countdown.
What do you want it to say?
Well, you already did two of them.
I didn't like them.
Oh, you didn't? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Well, see,
now you're
opening up. Now you're telling me.
Yeah, I'll work on it.
It's got to work through you sometimes. Yeah. You're an emotional train wreck sometimes. And we just
I am not.
See, there he goes right there. Did you hear that?
John Sandy, faith demands respect.
And so
this is
I.
his last show.
Can you tell?
Yeah. Part three.
John's almost done. He's almost gone. Gone.
Crying won't bring you back.
No, I tried that. That won't work either.
No, it won't.
Well, welcome, everybody.
We could call it Gone Get.
Gone Get. Yeah. I like that. You can do a song. Get. Why don't you ask AI to do a Gone Get?
That's a Cynthia. That's a Cynthia.
Gone Get. Yeah, she loves
it. I wouldn't know how to spell that.
Gone.
I don't know how to spell that.
She mocks you a lot. When I say mock, I mean in a kind way. She likes to imitate you.
Yeah, she does it in a kind way, and you're disrespectful.
And that's when we part ways.
You and Cynthia?
Yeah, that's when you come into the conversation,
we're just the three people watching now. But they're ghost watchers. They will not let other people know that they're watching the show. They're ghost watchers. We don't know who
what
they
does
are.
That mean? They don't give their name or anything?
Yeah, they don't give their name.
Is there a way to do that without giving your name?
Yeah, just don't click on it.
Oh, don't leave a message either.
Yeah.
Gone. Well, we got that's three times larger than last week.
That is. We're getting there.
Yeah, it makes my time worthwhile, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Time I can't get back.
Nope.
With John Fowler.
Absolutely.
On the Pulse.
WV Live.
Well, welcome. Faith demands results, and I mean it. I mean it when I say it. I'm sick of sin. Faith demands results. We are on part three on that topic, and I'm glad to have you along with us. One of the things I said last time we were together last week was praying is not salvation. Fasting, I'm going to add a little bit to that. Fasting is not scriptural. I'm telling you right now, you got to pray and fast. So to pray, to believe. Now we're talking about salvation. And the reason why I say that is because a lot of times we walk around and we're not, our gun's empty. As they say, we're not packing. Faith demands results. Faith expects to see something happen. And so that's what, when you have faith, that's the attitude you have. Faith, it just carries that along with it. If you have faith, you start to expect results. You start to expect answers. And as I shared yesterday in our program, we just need to learn to wait. In other words, learn to outwait the devil, because he'll want to discourage you and get you to stop believing and to give up and change course. See, what happens is if you're in faith and then you step out of faith, you're changing directions. And so we need to walk in faith. Acts 16, verses 30 and 31. Oh, I meant to talk to you about heaven. We'll talk about that next time. I was doing some studies on heaven. Yeah. Well, it's kind of interesting because you gave the measurements of heaven yesterday.
Yeah, I was wrong on that.
Huh?
I was wrong on
that. Well, I didn't want to say anything.
Yeah, it was.
I knew when you said it, but I thought, no, bless his heart. Yeah, because I'd measured it before myself.
Measured heaven?
Yeah. Heaven itself, if you were to equate it, I think it's about half the size of the United States. Of course, that's as high as it is.
I'll tell you. Hold on. Because I found my stuff.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I found it.
Well, I thought your measurements were off a little bit.
Okay, here it is.
About half off.
Half off?
Like you.
Yeah. All right. Okay, so.
Sorry about this, folks. We're switching gears here just for a second.
You asked.
I did.
Here it is. Okay, so 12,000 stata is what they're talking about when it comes to heaven. It's 1,379 miles.
See, I told you about halfway. Remember I told you that?
Yeah, but I did get from Charleston, West Virginia, headed west, it's 1,379 miles, which would take you to the Rocky Mountains,
mm-hmm.
Or to potentially near Denver, Colorado.
It's approximately 3,000 miles across the United States. So it's about
half.
So I
was
half.
About right. Yeah. That's a 3,000.
Well, okay. You said 3,000. You said it was 3,000 miles, didn't you?
Yeah, and then, so
double
here,
it.
Here
That's
is.
Way, I mean, that is way off.
There's actually an illustration of it.
Oh, cool. Because it's like a cube.
Yeah.
And how do you climb? Do you go up higher in it?
I don't know. I guess the low levels are for people that are afraid of heights.
Or people that just barely made it.
Just barely.
Do you think people that just barely make it will, like, they'll be shunned in certain events? Like, you can't get a, like, you have to have a ticket. If you're a high roller, you know, you're.
They probably won't make it to the marriage supper.
They probably get they.
They'll be on the outskirts of in the overflow.
Kitchen. They eat in the kitchen.
They'll be in the overflow. It's like if you just barely make it to heaven, you'll make it onto overflow to that's the marriage supper.
Way back there.
Yeah,
that's good. Overflow. I like that.
I like that.
I mean, I don't like the idea, but I mean, and
hopefully it won't be used.
And look up John 3:13.
John 3:13.
Yeah, look up John 3:13.
He's bossing me, everybody. John 3:13. John 3:13. All right, here's what it says. And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven.
So what do you do with that?
So all these people that have said that they've gone to heaven really haven't?
Yeah, they want to write a book. That's all this is about.
I got you.
I thought that was interesting, too, because...
You call Jesse and tell him that.
And do you have... call who?
Call Jesse and tell him that.
Jesse who?
Duplantis.
Oh, yeah. He wrote a book on...
He went there, according to what he said.
Well, he says he went, you know.
Yeah. People, you call him and tell
people
him
people say, you know, a lot of stuff.
I know.
I mean, but you think of all the stories of people that have gone, supposedly gone to heaven, and you read that. Now, you know what soul sleep is, right?
I came out of a church that believed in soul sleeping. I never did believe it.
Yeah.
I always believed that you went to...
Probably because the Bible says, and the dead in Christ shall rise first and meet him. So that's probably where they get that
from. But there are some denominations that are pretty dead.
Yeah. So they may be living their testimony, walking it out.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. I like that.
Could be.
But also, is there some people come back from heaven and talk about there's countryside around heaven?
Countryside?
And doesn't sometimes the Bible refer to heaven like the city?
Yeah.
Yeah. So is it a city or is it the whole heaven? Is part of heaven in the countryside? Some people come back and say, well, they went out to the countryside and this and that. So really, John, and when heaven comes to earth, what do you do with the rest of the land? Is there any more land? Is it? And there's no ocean, right?
No, and that kind of bugs me a little bit.
I know. I like the ocean,
you know, it's not.
I mean, lakes are nice. Rivers are nice. And streams, they're all nice. They're okay. But you don't go to the stream on vacation. You know what I mean?
Do you go on vacation in heaven?
No, I mean, you know how we go to the ocean.
I think it's a constant heaven.
I'm talking about how we
go. Yeah, oh, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I'm trying to get, if I can get this on here.
Let me see.
Eventually
get to this.
You go ahead. You go ahead.
You sure?
Yeah.
I kind of got you going there.
No, but I'll pull it up here in a second. Let me work on it. I'm working on it.
Interrupt me just anytime you want, John, because this is your show as the host.
No, where I'm a co-host.
Well, it's the first time you've ever said that after all these years. It just irks me.
It irks you? Quit acting like a Christian. You're acting like a Christian now. Don't stop it.
Acting like my church. You know.
No, I didn't say that about it. Now here you are talking about the church. Lord help me, somebody. All right, let's see here. Hold on a minute. All right. I'm working on it, John. Hold on a minute. Here, I'm almost done.
Mm-hmm.
Just stand by here.
I'll play some Jeopardy music.
Okay, so there it is. And we got that. Let me go back to the screen. Cheer. And let me go to my camera and put this in here.
Yeah,
image.
I think I need to go on. I'm losing my audience here.
No.
All three of them.
There you go. It's on the screen.
I see you.
There it is. All that picture you showed me. Yeah.
That's fascinating. I've never seen one quite like that.
Yeah, that was.
Where do they get the different layers at that steps in like that?
You know what I put that in? I put the numbers. Here's what I said.
You gave him the numbers of the size?
I gave him the numbers and the size.
Is that AI?
That is AI. Huh. I took the numbers. AI helped me calculate it. And
Your math's a little weak, so.
Stop. And here's what I asked. I said, show me a picture of the city of God Foursquare. And that's what it posted. It says, here is an authentic representation of the city of God described the four square from the book of Revelation. It portrays the radiant of the divine city of the golden walls glowing from the heavenly light.
What are the walls like, 144 feet thick or something like that? I mean, those walls are massive.
I haven't heard about that. We need to get somebody in here that knows something about this
thing. I do. But that's what I'm telling. That's
pretty.
I'm here.
I mean, that's pretty amazing. I've never seen a picture like that.
No, I haven't either.
It took everything that I asked it for and put it into that thing. So, I mean,
made you look good, John.
It looks like it'd be a good place to hang out.
Ooh, for a while?
Yeah, like for eternity, that type of thing.
Yeah, and you know we're going to work there, so get ready.
That's what Pastor Wright always said.
That's what the Word of God says.
He preached a message about that, and I came down the steps, and he was standing right there looking at me when I come down the steps, not because he was waiting on me, but he just happened to be coming. And I looked at him, and I said, man, I hope you're wrong. He said it's a different kind of work.
Yeah, because on the other end, you don't want to just hang around like on a cloud every day for a million years, you know.
I hope I can do a podcast every day. Hello, everybody from heaven.
If there's a will, there's a way there's for a John way. Fowler.
Is there internet in heaven?
Is there internet?
Because if there's not internet in heaven, I bet you some people don't want to go.
A whole different look at social media, John.
Yeah, it's iPhone. It's like, it's like, Lord, I want to go to heaven, but if I can't take my iPhone with me.
And that's the thing about those that have to eat and overflow. There's not good Wi-Fi.
That, I bet.
It's poor.
Yeah, you know how you
And they're constantly saying when Jesus is talking, they're constantly going, what did he say?
That's funny. Well, I have fulfilled my obligation to show you what the city
You have done a marvelous job. And we're all impressed.
I wake up every day and I marvel.
You look in the mirror and go, what a man.
Yeah, what a man. Yeah, right.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. And welcome to part three, part B of part three. This is, we just did A. We're doing part B now.
Do anything to stick around.
Anything.
This title keeps getting longer.
I just want to be where you are.
Well, you can come over here and sit anytime.
you'll do something else, right? As you said this morning when you got that early phone call, my day has begun. bye-bye. We'll continue on where we left off. We either have faith or we don't. Now, you can have a little bit of faith, a lot of faith. No, you either have faith or you don't. Now, what do I mean by that? You either have unbelief mixed with it or you don't. Has your faith been tested? It's going to be tested. And when you proclaim faith, when you walk with God, the devil takes note. And there will be tests that will come your way. Acts 16:30-31, it talks about the jailer brought into Paul and Silas whenever they were released from the prison. And the jailer was going to take his life. He simply said to him, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, ironically, it doesn't say traditionally like we might say, repent of all your sins, take up your cross, and follow me, right? Of course, Jesus, that's not a lot of the interpretation of the word salvation in here, and this is one example. But, of course, to believe on the Lord means to follow. In order to follow, you need to change your ways and turn from your sins. So it's there, but it's just worded that way in the scriptures in Acts chapter 16, where he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And you will be saved, and you and your household, if they also believe, is in parentheses. I believe this is Amplified Version. No, New King James Version. But the in parentheses, it says, if they also believe. So don't get the impression that if you get saved, automatically other people are saved. This has to be a personal decision. You have to turn from sin. If you could get saved by someone else being saved, then you don't have the revelation of why you're saved. To be saved is to turn from your sins and to go and do Jesus' work, the work of Christ, and to claim him as your Savior and you his servant in a wonderful, loving way. And I know that the man lowered through the roof, Jesus said first to him, your sins are forgiven. Now, he didn't ask for forgiveness, but we talked about this yesterday in our program. If you want to go back and listen to our Sunday morning at 10 a.m., my wife and I, we were teaching on this very subject on a different matter. We took it a little different direction. But the man lowered through the roof, Jesus said, your sins are forgiven. He saw the faith of the four, and his sins are forgiven. Now, it is thought that what happened there was he either had unforgiveness in his heart towards someone or he could not forgive himself. How many people have you talked to that said, I'm not worthy? And he probably didn't feel worthy. And so Jesus forgave him of his sins because of where he was. And then, of course, he healed his body, which was the greater act in the eyes of man. And, of course, we're talking about the Pharisees, that he knew what they were thinking. So anyway, that's a whole different story. But interesting look at how Jesus handled that when he saw the faith of those lowering him down. Some of us are at the beginning, some in the middle, and some at the end of what we call our faith walk. Not the beginning of faith. What I mean is we have challenges in life, and there's things that we need to believe God for and trust him with. And so we walk by faith concerning that issue. Sometimes it's resolved quickly. Sometimes we have to wait a while, but we need to outwait the devil. Our faith needs to be stronger than the devil's doubts, right? So we need to wait and trust God and believe by faith that it's going to come to pass. And when it does, we begin waiting again on a different area. And every time our faith is being tested. Those in the middle are waiting and waiting. Been there? You've been there? I have. And we think, man, how long can I wait? You need to wait until God resolves it. Because if you don't, then the next time you're tested, you're going to put a timeline on when God can work. Yesterday, I gave just a wonderful example of how we wait on God and why we need to wait. And I gave a couple of stories, examples, where someone was waiting. They were trying to sell their house, and nothing was happening. And so eventually, they began to fast and pray, I believe they did, and sought God on the answer. And this man approached them and said, "This is my house." He wanted that house. Then he began to tell him the story. When the man put the house on the market, this man said to his wife, "This is my house." But he had to sell his house first. When the man fasted over selling his house, the man that wanted it, his house sold then. Do you see the correlations in waiting on God, being faithful, and following the leading of the Holy Spirit as you wait? Because God will talk to you all the time, and he'll give you little clues on things, on what you need to do to release things. Sometimes people are asked to do things. The scripture says that men shall pour into your bosom, right? Well, it doesn't say how many or which man, right? Here's what I mean by that. God could speak to you about doing something, and you're going, "Oh, my goodness, that's a hard one. Lord, I don't know if I can do that." And then finally someone comes along, and God's asked them to do the same thing you didn't do, and they were obedient. Well, that put a little delay on your receiving men pour into your bosom because the first person did not want to do it, so God had to find someone else. And this can happen in your life, in your prayer life. And I want to encourage everybody that as you wait on God, learn to wait until the answer comes. Do not give up. The Bible says when you've done all you know to do to stand, then stand. In other words, I interpret that as once you've done everything you know to do, then you continue standing until God reveals the answer and brings and manifests the answer you need. We pray and we wait. That's part of the Christian walk. That will never end. Once you're through waiting on something for God to reveal to you, there's going to come another thing that you're going to wait on God for. And again, it may come quickly, but then again, it may not. And some give up, but we must learn to wait until God works, until he finishes the task. Because God's answer to you every time you pray anything that's his promise is yes. It's always yes. And only God knows how long we must wait, but he also always comes and works in some way to help us stand faithful in waiting. And I like that little point there. What I'm saying right there is, if you truly wait on God and you're trusting and it gets hard, here's what God will do. He'll do something to encourage you. It might be in a church service you're in, and you feel like the service is just for you. It might be a word he gives you in the scripture or a word in your heart. It might be something that someone will say to you. They may say, "Lord, the Lord gave me a word for you, and I don't know what it means, but I need to share this with you." See, God will always keep you encouraged. God is never going to leave you nor forsake you. And when you're in God's presence, which is what that means, there's always a place for encouragement and enlightenment. and learning and growing. Because, folks, every time you wait and God reveals the answer in time, you've learned something, you've matured, and now you're ready to go deeper. And your next waiting may be a little greater challenge. But be encouraged. If you wait, God will encourage you along the way. Learn how to wait well. I like that. Learn how to wait well. There's some people suffer well, some people don't suffer well. And sometimes people, it's like they're down the floor. I'm in pain. I can't take this. And they're just crawling on the floor and beating their chest. Those are people that don't wait well. But God is trying to teach us through waiting how to wait better in the future. So be encouraged. Do not give up waiting. Faith always demands results, because when you walk in faith, your faith is saying to the situation, I demand an answer. I expect an answer, and I'm waiting, and I'm looking for an answer. It is going to come. So that's how we have to talk to things. Learn how to wait well. When it does come through for us, it is always wonderful, isn't it? Oh, my goodness. It's like a runner. Now, if you're a runner or you know people that are runners, you'll understand this. If you're a runner, a distance runner especially, man, you're like going, I hate this, I hate this, it hurts, I hate this, I hate this. And then when you're done, you're going, man, that was awesome. It's like a woman giving birth. It's struggle, man, it's tough, the 9 months. When you get down to that eighth and ninth month, a lot of women's like, I'm ready to have this baby, right? But once you have the baby, you don't remember the suffering. You just look into the face of this child and think how wonderful it is. So when you're waiting on God, it may seem rough, folks. It may seem, the devil will tell you all the same things he tells everybody else, blah, 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 blah. He'll tell you that, oh, you're not going to make it. You'll never see an answer. What you need is going to take more than God's willing to give you, and you don't deserve it. You know, all the same old things. But, oh, if we stand faithful, if we don't give up in time, in due season, God will reveal himself in his way, and he'll encourage you along the way as well. Look back over the times you've waited and been faithful in waiting and saw God's result. Have you had times where you've had encouragement? Sure you have. But remember that there's another waiting the next time you're coming. It's coming. It's on its way. Matthew 6:33 from the King James Version. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, the key words here is seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. A lot of times in our waiting, we're seeking, but it's not the highest priority on our list. And before you know it, we wane away to the left or right. And before you know it, we run out of steam and we lose the vision of what we're waiting for, because we are waiting, but it's not the highest priority. When you choose to wait on God, you must seek him first in everything. If you don't, folks, he'll eventually fall to the wayside and your faith will wane. So you got to seek him first. Psalms 37, verse 4, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now, we're going to close with this one right here. Psalm 37, 4. Let me read it again from the New King James Version. Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Bingo. Folks, this is the desire of God. His desire is to delight. He's to give you delight. So if you delight yourself in him, if you put him first and you don't give up, you delight yourself in him, guess what happens? He not only gives you those things which are of the kingdom of God, things he's promised, but he's also interested in the desires of your heart. And we all know as you go deeper, your desires change because you become more and more and more and more like him, right? But the neat thing is, he said, if you believe when you pray, you've got it. Folks, he doesn't make it hard, but he wants it to be consistent. Your faith must be consistent. If your faith goes up and down, then unbelief is going up and down. And you're going to hit a place in a valley where your faith is down and your unbelief is up. And that's not a good place to be. You've got to keep your focus on his will, his desire for your life, his purpose for you at all times, every day. and to seek him, delight in him. In other words, if you delight in the Lord, that means you're thrilled over what God wants. You want what he wants more than what you want. He said, oh, God, I want to do this, but I know what you have for me is better according to your word, and I want yours instead of mine. That is delighting in him. That is putting him first. And if you do that, and if you stay faithful and you don't put a timeline or an egg timer on God, then God will have an opportunity because you've given him full reign of your life. You see, when you give up your life to God, now he can work. Why? Because now you've loosened a rope. You've allowed God to run a little bit with something for you, and he is going to take you on a wonderful journey because you've now said, okay, God, your will. And what do you mean when you say your will? We say your time, your way. Your time, your way, oh God. And when you do that and you give God full reign over your emotions, your schedule and your time and your desires, when you do that, then God has full reign to bless your socks off, and he will give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the things you're longing for and you're seeking for that are of him, and then he'll throw a little ice cream on the cake. He'll give you that extra whipped cream and cherry on top, and he'll just give you extra. If you know God to do that, he will. God will always do more than you ask if you let him have his way, if you seek him first, if your faith does not wane. Faith demands results. Faith does not let go until it gets what it's after. That's what faith will do. Faith is a powerful thing. So we want to stop right there, but glad you're with us as we journey in the next time in part four on faith demands results. We're going to talk more about this, folks. There's more to come on opening up the door to your possibilities if you allow God to reign in your life and your faith is strong. Jesus said, only believe. Get rid of the unbelief and watch God work. Because once faith is recognized, once faith is in charge of the situation, results are going to happen because it demands it. Faith does not mess around. Do faith well. Stick it out. Stay with God throughout your life because he's there for eternity for you as well. Jesus, I want to thank you for the privilege of being with these people today, those that are listening, and I pray that they get some encouragement from this to never wane in their faith, to stay with God all the way to the end because God is faithful, folks. He is never going to fail you. He's never going to leave you nor forsake you. He is awesome. He's a wonderful God to serve. We are so privileged to know that we can serve this living Savior. And remember, folks, the Bible is a living document. Every time you read it, it's alive. It's not just history or something that was said in the past. It's a present-day text that's applying to your situations and what you're going through right now. So get in the Word. Find a church that you believe that preaches the full gospel of Jesus Christ, and you'll grow. And God will lead you to people that are where you're headed, and they can share their experiences and encourage you so you don't reinvent the wheel, right? So I pray you'll be encouraged today, and that you may seek him first in everything and watch him work. Amen. I pray that you hit like and share and subscribe and share this message and stay with us on next Monday for part four of Faith Demands Results. We got more for you. Thank you.
Several different ways that you can give to this ministry. You can text the word PULSE to 1-304-244-3187. You could go to thepulsechurch.com and give through PayPal or mail your love gift to P.O. Box 141, Gassaway, West Virginia, 26624. Thanks for listening and watching the Pulse WV Live and Network that beats to the heart of God.